Family. What are your thoughts when you hear this word? Dinners, birthday parties, graduations, and weddings? Do you think of love, intimacy, and laughter? Or do you think of pain, absence, and conflict? Whatever your thoughts are, family was God's idea. His desire is for you to join His vibrant and growing family. A family marked by sacrifice and acceptance. Marked by diversity and unity. Marked by an eternal significance. A family like that would be no ordinary family.
Well, good morning, Lifeway. Good to see y'all. Hopefully your summer has kicked off well. We've had some warm weather. We got a little shower last night, at least at my house we did. And so it's going to be a good summer, isn't it? Y'all ready? All right, good. For everything that it holds. And so I hope that we don't see too many triple digits. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe we can just stay in the 90s all summer long. That would be nice. But am I jinxing us? Is that what's happening? Anyways, well, we're going to start this new series today, and it deals with family. Before we get there, last summer, what we talked about is the church. And so when we talked about the church, we asked the question, why church? And we learned why God established the church and what purpose it has and kind of how it functions and how it's supposed to work for the kingdom of God. And so this summer, what we're doing is we're taking a look at the oldest institution that God created and the most important institution that God created, the family. And so we're asking the question, why family? Why? What's the purpose of family? We want to discover God's purpose for our homes. And so that's what we're going to be looking at this whole summer as we dig deep into this series. And I want to want to put a quote out there to you, and I want you to think about this. John Paul II is the guy who said it, and he said it back when I was, I was not even a year old yet. It was back in 1986, November 30th, I believe, of 1986. And this is what he says. He says this, and maybe you've heard this one. As the family goes, so goes the nation. And so goes the world, the whole world we live in. So let me start off with asking you a question. How do you feel our nation and our world is going right now? Okay, some thumbs down, some bads. In general, we look around and we say, what's going on? Well, we go back to that quote, and what we'll see here in Scripture here in just a little bit is, as goes the family, so the nation goes. It starts with our homes. It truly does, and that's what we're going to discover throughout this series. And so there's going to be some sections that we look at marriage, and we talk about marriage, what it looks like, what God's plan is for marriage. We're going to talk about parenting, what it means to be a godly parent, to be a kingdom parent. And then we're also going to look at some difficult situations, some difficult relationships that we have, because family sometimes is difficult, right? It's not all perfect. Sometimes you got to work through some things. And so we're going to talk about that as well as we look at this series, Why Family? And so understanding God's purpose for our family is crucial to this church, to our community, to our state, and to the nation, and eventually to the whole world. It's crucial for us to understand God's purpose. Because if we get this wrong, or we allow the world to give our family purpose, then we risk losing this generation, the next generation, and generations in the future. We've seen that. Especially in the last 60 years, you've seen a degradation of the family. You've seen these things that have crept up, and there's a lot of different reasons, but it goes back to the fact that we've lost the purpose that God has originally given to us as a family, which is what we're going to talk about and focus on today. So since God is the one who made the family, it's time for us to get His manual on family out and study the Word of God. Now, I want you to think about this illustration. This comes from a pastor up in the Dallas area. His name is Tony Evans. Some of y'all know who I'm talking about. But this guy, he's a great expositor of God's Word. And this is what he said in one of the sermons he preached on the family. And that was, have you ever had like a vehicle that you've had to take in to get warranty service? Okay, so I know Ford owners, they experience that a lot, don't they? Where's Michael at? Okay, I'm just teasing, all right? Anyways, Jamie, I think if you can bump my mic down just a little bit. Anyways, and so you have a car that needs warranty work. Well, you don't take it into Best Buy, do you? No, you take it back to the manufacturer. You take it back to the one who made it. And so when we think about that, when we need some warranty work on the family because the family's broken, because it's not doing what it needs to be, it's not operating the way it needs to operate, well, who do we take it to? We take it back to the manufacturer, the maker of the family. And who is that? God. And so that's what we're going to do in this series, and specifically today we're going to address those things. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. So our scripture is just kind of very short today, but it's packed full of a lot of explosive truths. And so I hope that you'll follow along and that you'll discover these with me. So the first thing I want us to see, and there's going to be like a fill-in-the-blank thing that you'll see here. So if you're taking notes, you can write those in. But the first thing I want us to see is that the family was created to reflect God's image. The family was created to reflect God's image. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. Verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" And then you skip down to verse 27. He says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So God created family in his own image. Now, how is that? How is that to take place? How can we draw this truth from Scripture? Well, I want you to think of God. God is a triune being, correct? He consists of God the... and God the, okay, so three in one, right? All right, so three in one. He also created us mind, body, and soul. We are also a kind of a Trinitarian creature, three in one. Now I want you to think of the family. You have the man, you have the, all right, y'all got that right, good. Okay, woman, and then you have the children, the offspring, the child. And so you can see there, it's three in one. There's this Trinitarian aspect to the family. And so the family is to reflect the unity and the diversity of the Trinity. Is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are they exactly the same? Do they minister in the same way? No, they don't. They're different. Okay, Jesus said, "I have to go so that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will come." Why? Because the Holy Spirit was going to minister in a different way than Jesus. But do they all minister for the glory of God? Yes, obviously, because they belong to God. They are God. And so when we think about that, we think about the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are different. They are united, but they are also uniquely different. And the same thing, in the same case, is true for the family. You see, we are created equally, but we're uniquely different. A man is created to be a man. He has a certain role and responsibilities. A woman is created to be a woman. She has certain roles and responsibilities. And the children have certain roles and responsibilities. What does all that mean? It means that we're all equal. Husbands, are you better than your wife? The ones who are sitting by them just said no. And that's true. No, you're not. Wives, are you more important than your husbands? You may do more of the work, but you're not more important. And children, you are very special to God. And what you see throughout God's word is you see direct, and we're not going to get into it today because I would preach all the other sermons, but what you see is you see these directions to each individual member of the family unit. You see it to the dad or the husband. You see it to the mom or to the wife, and you see it to the children as well. And so you have this system that God has created, and he has put us here to be a reflector of Him. In fact, we are His image bearers. What we're supposed to basically do is we are supposed to, when people look at our family, they're supposed to see God through our family. So our family should be a visible photograph of God to this world. Now let me stop here and just ask a question. With that in mind, your family is to be a visible photograph to this world. Let me ask this question. How well do you think your family is doing? I'm not asking necessarily for a response, but I just want to give you a second. How well do you think your family is doing? If my family is supposed to be a visible photograph of God to the world, how well are we doing? Well, I would say, Lauren, we have some work to do. Okay? We have some work to do. We are striving to be that beautiful photograph of God to the world, but we have our faults and our failures and things that we should do better. And so what do? We go to God, we repent, we get right with Him, and we get back on the straight and narrow, and we try with His grace and with His mercy to do in His power what we need to do. Okay? So think about that. How well is your family reflecting God? Now, God created, like I said before, man with a role and a responsibility to his family. Same thing with the wife. Same thing with the children. Each role is unique to each individual part, but collectively it makes up the family. It is of no surprise that when these roles and responsibilities, when they get out of sorts, the family and its ability to reflect the image of God gets messed up. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen the families that the roles are all reversed? You have kids that are ruling the house. Is that the way God created it to be? Absolutely not. There's a unique role and a unique position for them, but they're not to be in a place of leadership. But sadly, some kids actually have to be in a place of leadership because of the poor leadership of the parents. Right? And so when we get these roles and these things mixed up, what happens is the family gets messed up and our reflection of the image of God gets all distorted and people don't see that image. Now, let me speak to you singles right quick, because when we talk about the family and we talk about the Trinity, the man, the woman, and the children and things like that, you're like, well, where am I at in the family? I feel left out. But believe me, you're not left out. You are also an image bearer of God. You may not have, let's say you're a single lady. Okay, all the single ladies. Anyways, let's say you're a single lady. Okay, you still are an image bearer of God. You're no less important because you are single. Guys, if you don't have, there's not a song for single guys. Probably a country song, right? Anyways, because, well, you can fill in the blank. But anyway, so guys, singleness is a blessing for you too. In fact, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says, I wish that more of you would be like I am. What he's talking about is single. Now, Paul, according to just tradition, he was part of the Sanhedrin, and most of the Sanhedrin, they had wives. And so it's highly likely that Paul had a wife. Now, what happened to her? We don't know. Did she die? Possibly so. Maybe when he converted to Christianity, maybe she didn't want to have anything to do with that. I don't know. But all I'm saying is Paul saw singleness as a beautiful thing to be an image bearer of God, because he felt that he could have singularity and focus. He wasn't wasting time, as he would say it, kind of on family, but he could be devoted to the Lord. And so singleness is a blessing, and you are an image bearer of the Lord. And you are no less important in the kingdom of God. But this idea of reflecting God's image in our family, it's a very important one. It's very important, and that's why Satan attacks it. You see, when Satan seeks to destroy the family, he wants to keep us from reflecting the image of God to the world. It was very shortly after the family began with Adam and with Eve that Satan attacked it, wasn't it? Very shortly. God brought them together, the end of chapter 2, chapter 3. Then you have the story of man's fall. And in this story, you see the snake slithers up to Eve and asks Eve the question, basically putting her in a leadership role, asking Eve this question. And all of a sudden, things crumble from there. And so very quickly, Satan wants to attack, and he wants to prevent your family from being a good image bearer for the kingdom of God. Okay, so your family, we are to reflect the image of our God. The next thing that we want to see in the scripture is the family's goal is to rule for God. The family's goal is to rule for God. The end part of chapter 20, verse 26 says this, and let them, who is them? The family that God will create, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God said, let them have dominion. Oh, and also quickly into verse 28, he says this. It's a kind of a continuation. He says, and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over those things that we've just read previously. So God said, let them have dominion. So this means ruling on God's behalf in history so that history comes under God's rule. Ruling in God's behalf in history so that history comes under God's rule. So he placed us here with a purpose, with a goal of ruling for him. Y'all see that in the scripture? Okay? So we are to rule for him. If the family fails to meet this goal, the end result is what we have in our society today. What is that? Chaos. Think about the breakdown in our society today. We talk about this more often than we have in years past, and that is mental health. That is something that is brought up quite often, and which is good to bring up that awareness. But where did all this come from? Where did all these problems, where did these mass shootings come from? Where did this child trafficking and all these things come from? How did it happen? Has it always been? Probably in some fashion it has been, but it has gotten worse over the years, hasn't it? Why? Because of the breakdown of the family. When the family fails to rule on God's behalf in a way that God would rule, then what happens is chaos. Chaos pursues. And let me say this, there is not enough government money to fix the mess that broken families leave behind. You see, God created family in order to rule on his behalf. That was the goal, for them to rule on his behalf, to rule as God would rule. And that's the whole point of it, is whatever God would do, that's what we should do. Whatever God would do in this situation, that's the way that we lead our families as well. So, the family was created to rule for God. Now, did the family precede government, or did the family come after government? It preceded government, didn't it? So God, the first institution that he created was family. The second institution that he created was the government. And the third institution that he created, which we talked about last summer, was... say it louder. The church. There you go. You got the right answer. Okay, so see how this is working? God, he gave the family unit a command to rule on his behalf. And the family unit proceeded to do that. Then once there was some strain and evilness and wickedness was taking over, there was a necessity to have a government to protect the family. And then there's also a necessity to have the church that would influence the government and the family. All three of these work together. But here's the thing about that. Here's the thing. You have the family that is supposed to rule on God's behalf. And whenever that breaks down and chaos pursues, that's when God establishes the government where it's supposed to step in and help the family rule on God's behalf. But what has happened in our society? In our society, the government has stepped in, and they have gone way beyond what they're supposed to do. So let's talk about what the government's supposed to do in regards to our family and how we're supposed to rule. You see, the government is to protect the image of God and family. It's supposed to protect that it's a male and a female, just the way God created them. It's supposed to protect that. Has our government done that? No. They have rewritten that. So the government is supposed to protect the image of God and family. The government is to recognize, authorize, and protect the sovereignty of families without interfering. And so what that means is your family unit is supposed to conduct itself according to God's rules, according to God's law, and it's not supposed to be interfered with by the government. Does that happen? It doesn't happen. What are some ways that we have interference today? Does anybody know? No school prayer. Okay. So you do have some, in regards to education, government involvement in that, you have a lot of interference there. For instance, there are states where parents are not allowed to know what the kids are doing at school. Okay? That's a reality that we have here in 2023. And so you have the government who is now stepping in and interfering in a way that they should not interfere. If the family's goal is to rule for God, well then the government should protect that right to rule for God. But unfortunately, we live in a time and in a society where government steps in to try to rule the family and tries to push God out of the picture. The last thing that we're going to see and we're going to talk about here in just a few seconds is the government's job is to protect the reproducing of children from family. So what the government's supposed to do is supposed to make it where the families can reproduce and continue to build that godly image throughout society. Has government protected that right? No. In fact, the U.S. government, with its legalization of abortion, has killed more humans than communist China, communist Russia, and Nazi Germany. And so the government has severely failed. So what do? Well, we go back to the manufacture of the family. That's what we do. We have to go back to the manufacture of the family and say, God, where did it go wrong? We want to rule on your behalf. We want to understand what your plan is for our families. And so, we go back to His Word. We go back to His writings, His teachings, His instructions. And here's the interesting thing about when God created this initial family, Adam and Eve. When He created this initial family, did He give them some instructions to rule by? Well, first thing He told them, He goes, go and tend the garden, work the garden. So they were to make sure that the garden was in a good working condition. And then He gave them one rule. Do you remember what that rule was? Say it louder. Don't eat the apple. Well, we don't know it's an apple, although that's what most of it's depicted, right? No, what He's told is, what they're told is, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the center of the garden. That was the rule. And so how was that initial family to rule on God's behalf? Well, they were to tend the garden and to stay away from that tree. You would think that's pretty simple, right? But we know that sometimes the simplest things that we should do are often sometimes the hardest things, especially when temptation enters in, and especially when we have to sit there and we have to fight all those things. And so God, He has rules and He has instructions for the family of how to rule on His behalf. And He's very clear about that. Now, Satan attacked the image of God when he caused Eve to doubt His word. Then he created further chaos when he asked Eve to lead in a way she was not asked to lead. You see, Satan was sneaky. He was a deceiver and slithered up to Eve to ask her about eating from that tree. And ultimately what this led to was the breakdown of ruling on God's behalf. That law was broken. And that's not to sit there and put it all on Eve. It's very much right there on Adam too. Because if you read the story, it says, for he was with her. What does that mean? He should have stepped in and said, Eve, we don't talk to that creepy, slithering, talking individual. We don't do that. Why? Because I've been placed in a leadership role to protect my family. No, but he was a passive dad or passive husband instead of one who would step in and be godly and rule on God's behalf. So the family is to reflect God's image. The family is to rule God's behalf. And the family, last one, is the family is to reproduce for the kingdom of God. Verse 28. I know for some reason, some of us guys, we like this verse. But anyways, it says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, when we read that scripture, what do we think of? We think of childbearing. We think of children coming into this world. We think of us having kids. And that is definitely part of that. But a lot of times when we think of this idea of reproducing, we get it mixed up with thinking that God wants us to have cute little us's running around. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you have, oh, you know, and of course, what do we talk about when we see these little kids? What's one of the first things, first questions that are asked? Who do they look like? And so you'll have some over here, oh, I think she looks like mama. And then you have the other person over here, I think she looks like daddy. Then you have the other person who's really bold, and they're like, I don't think they look like either one of you. You know? And so, but that's like a question that we have. Who do they look like? And so when we think of reproducing, being fruitful and multiply, God wasn't saying, go have babies that look like you. That's a byproduct of biology and stuff like that. He's not saying, go have little babies that look like you, but rather, he wants to fill the earth with children that look like God the Father. He wants not little yous running around the earth, but little hymns running around the earth. Little ones that are bought in to the gospel story, who have repented, who have trusted Jesus Christ for their salvation, and who are living a life devoted to God the Father. That's what he wants to have happen. And so I want you to think of it this way. As you have kids, so Lauren and I, we have three kids. We have Chase, Cooper, and Charlie. And so let's say Chase, he graduates high school, goes to college, and he moves to Kansas. What's going to happen for him is when he meets that woman, him and his singleness is going to be an image bearer of God. So anybody who comes in contact with him, they're going to see the photograph of God. Whenever he meets that special someone, his wife, and gets married, they are going to become one and they're going to hold up the image of God. And when they reproduce, their little kids are going to be image bearers of God. And so here you have Chase in Kansas. Cooper, he moves to Florida. He finds himself a wife. They have kids. And they are holding up the photograph of God. Then you go to Charlie, and she's never going to get married. Okay. She probably will. And I don't like it that much, but we'll just say they move to, I don't want her to go over, what'd you say? Victoria. Well, I was going to go with Tokyo, you know what I'm saying? I don't want her to move across seas, but let's just say she wants to go live a life over there. So she goes to Tokyo. Here's what's happened. If Lauren and I have done our job correctly, we have reproduced little image bearers. And so what has happened is the kingdom of God was alive in our family, but then because of the teaching within our family, because of us having strong influence over them, because us teaching them God's word and praying for them daily to repent of their sins and to trust Jesus, and two of mine have. We're praying for little Charlie now, okay? Because we pray for that and because we direct them, what happens is whenever they go somewhere else, guess what happens? They do the exact same things that mom and daddy taught them. You see, there's this growing trend in Christian families where the Christian kids walk away from the faith and have nothing to do with God anymore. And what has happened is there has been this failure for them to be image bearers of God. Instead, they decide, this is my life, I'm going to take it over, and I'm going to be an image bearer of whatever I feel I want to be an image bearer of. And let me just say this, that may not seem like such a big deal to you, but that is a very, very sad place to be. Because if we have influence over anybody, it should be our children, right? If we have influence over anybody, it should be our children. And we should set them up to be the best image bearers that they could possibly be. In fact, you remember Jesus when he talks about that millstone being hung around someone's neck? You know the application of that is if you do anything to harm one of these little ones from becoming an image bearer of me, it is better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and for you to be sunk to the depths of the sea. Does God take this thing seriously? Absolutely, and so should we. So should we. So we are to be fruitful and multiply so that we have little image bearers, not of ourselves, but of God, throughout the world. Have you ever been reading in your Bible and you've come along to one of those chapters that has the genealogies? Do you know what I'm talking about? Those genealogies. And if you have time, those genealogies are really cool to study. But sometimes, if you don't have time, what you might do is you may say, okay, a bunch of people beget a bunch of people. Skipping on to the next chapter. And you continue reading. But here's the cool thing about those genealogies is this is what it's showing. Is it's showing how these people, they sit there, they reflected God's image, they ruled on God's behalf, and they reproduce for the kingdom of God. What you see is you see this growth in the kingdom of God. You see the kingdom of God expand and grow because so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. Why is that important? Because that's what's going to be told of your life, your family. Kyle and Lauren begat Chase, Cooper, and Charlie, who begat da-da-da, 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 right? That's going to be your story. And some of y'all are well past that point in your life. You're not having kids anymore. Well, that's great for you, okay? Someday I'm going to be there too, and I'm going to be able to relax and enjoy just being a grandparent where you get to spoil them and send them home. But right now I'm in the thick of it, okay? I'm in the thick of it. And the thing is, you get to see your kids grow up and have kids, and you get to have that influence, that positive influence on their life to encourage them, to bring them to church, to have them involved in the kingdom work, to have them serving on God's behalf, and to teach them and to study God's word with them. That is an important role that you can play. You know, in that the genealogies that I referenced, do you know how many messed up families there are in there? See, when we look at this and we talk about the family, how it's supposed to be, some of your families may not look like that. You may think, well, you know, my family's messed up here or over here. It doesn't look like that. So how do I fit into this whole thing? When the kingdom of God is expanding and you see these genealogies coming throughout history, you see some messed up families and some messed up people in those families. In fact, if you go back and you study the family lineage of Jesus Christ, he had a messed up family. And here's what that means to me is even our messed up families can be used for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That means even if you've been through a divorce or your parents were divorced or you know, you lost a family member or whatever the struggle is that you're going through right now, just I want you to know that your family can be used for the kingdom of God. that just because it doesn't fit the perfect model family does not mean that God discards your family. No, God is in the work of redemption, and He can redeem your family for His story, for His kingdom, and for His glory. And that's the beautiful thing about God, is that there's always hope with Him. There's that mercy and that grace and that love, and there's that hope that He offers to redeem us back so that we can be used for His honor and for His glory. So the family is designed to reflect the image of God. The family's goal is to rule on God's behalf, and the family should reproduce in order to grow the kingdom of God. You don't have to be a perfect family in order to do this. So, as we introduce the series to you, and as we are fixing to dive into marriage, and then later into parenting, and then to those difficult relationships that we have within family, as we dive into those, I hope this gives kind of an overarching view of what family is supposed to do. Okay, it's all about bringing honor and glory to God. And here's the thing about this. Here's the thing about all of that. Is in order to bring honor and glory to God, in order to rule on His behalf, to reflect His image, to reproduce the kingdom of God, all those things, it means that you have to relinquish control. And we've talked about this last Sunday, and we've talked about it many Sundays before this, but here's what tends to happen is we look at our family as ours instead of God's. And the reality is my family is not my family. My family is God's family that He has entrusted to me to make sure that I carry out His will and His purpose on this earth. And so when we think about it that way, when we understand that, hopefully what we arrive at is we say, okay, God, my family is not mine to do with it whatever I want to. It's not for my happiness. It's not for my glory. No, God, my family is for You. And so therefore, the decisions that I make for my family are going to put You first, and they're going to honor You, and I'm going to always give You control over the people that You have blessed me with. That's the attitude that we have to have. So what is God's purpose for our family? To reflect, to rule, and to reproduce. And here's the thing, cool thing about God's family. When we think about each of our individual family units, you need to know that they're our individual family units. Those of us especially who have repented and trusted in Jesus Christ, we've repented of our sins, we've trusted in Jesus Christ, we belong to a greater and a bigger family. And that family is called the family of God. And one day, when He comes back, there is going to be this tremendous gathering of all the families of the earth. And for those who have rejected Him, they will unfortunately go to a place called hell, separated from God for eternity. But for those who have repented, trusted in Jesus, who have Him as Lord and Savior, they have that relationship with Him, they will be in heaven with Him and with all the other families. And we're going to be one big, happily ever after family. Can you wait for it? I can't. I look forward to that. But until that day comes, Joshua 24, I think it's verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so as we enter this series, Why Family, I want to ask you that question. Who is your family going to serve? Is it going to be the Lord? Is it going to be the world and society? Is it going to be your wants and your desires? Well, I can tell you for certain one thing, and that is if your family will serve the Lord, you will be in a place that one brings honor and glory to the Lord, but I believe you'll receive more satisfaction and happiness in life serving the Lord than you will be with all those other things. I can guarantee you that. So, why family? Because God made it. Because God's got some really cool and important things for our families to do. So, I hope that you're ready to go on this journey with us, and I hope you're ready to see your family become a family that honors God. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for your word. Lord, I know that what we read today was simple and just, you know, it's just, we're here to reflect your image, rule on your behalf, and reproduce for your kingdom. But sometimes, like I said before, the simple things are the hard ones to do. Lord, in our dreams, our goals, and our aspirations can sometimes get in the way of what you want us to do. And so we have to remind ourselves, and you, of course, remind us in your word, that we must relinquish control to the God who created our family, to the God who knows our family, to the God who wants to see our families restored and redeemed. So God, whether it be a single person here today, a family that's broken, a family that is whole, whatever the case may be, whatever relationships we're talking about, Lord, you want to use our position, our family, for your honor and for your glory. So Lord, I pray and ask that you would help us to surrender to your will, to understand what your word says, and to go and be image bearers and create image bearers for your honor and for your glory. Thank you so much for this day that you've given us. And we pray and ask that you would use these words for to speak to our hearts. And we ask that you please help us as we go from this place to love you and to live a life that would please you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would please join me in standing, and this is a time for